This program is paid for by Your Radio Doctor, LLC. All opinions or statements expressed on this program are solely those of Your Radio Doctor and their guests and do not reflect the opinions of WPHT or Odyssey. Your Radio Doctor does not recommend or endorse any specific tests, products, physicians, procedures, opinions, or other information that may be mentioned on Your Radio Doctor. Always consult your own physician. Today's program has been pre-recorded.
At Independence Blue Cross, we take care of the people who take care of you. Everyday heroes like firefighters, police officers, teachers, farmers, and healthcare workers. Doctors and hospitals across the region have IBX, and they know what it means to have reliable access to care. So whether you're saving lives or just trying to live a healthier life, count on IBX, the region's number one health insurer for 85 years. Learn more at IBX.com.
Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL, HD3, Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's time for the Delaware Valley's first radio doctor.
On call every Saturday afternoon at 5.
This is Your Radio Doctor with Dr. Marianne Ritchie. Presented exclusively by Independence Blue Cross.
Listen, 7 months or 10 months is an absolutely exceptionally short time frame to produce this vaccine.
Your health determines your life, your longevity, and your happiness. Let your radio doctor lead the way with your medical education. Your radio doctor, Dr. Marianne Ritchie.
Good afternoon and welcome to Your Radio Doctor. I'm your host, Dr. Marianne Ritchie. As the summer draws to a close, some teens will need to have a form completed before they can participate in a school sport. But at some point every year, all adolescents and teens should have an annual physical because it's a very important opportunity for your pediatrician to look for general medical problems and screen for risky behaviors. Joining us today is one of my favorite guests, Dr. Julie Cardos, Medical Director of the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia Primary Care Office in Newtown, Pennsylvania. She's also a founding member of Mattel's Medical and Scientific Safety Council. Of course, she's a Philadelphia Magazine top doc every year since 2018. What were they thinking prior to that? Of course, you have been since you started practice. And together with her colleague, I love this, Dr. Naylene Lai and Dr. Julie Cardos are two peds in a pod. That's P-E-D-S, two pediatricians, twopedsinapod.org, where they share concise, practical information about pediatric medicine on their website and blog. That's twopedsinapod.org. Welcome, Julie.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Now, you've worked with Mattel. Tell me you know Barbie and Ken personally. Do you?
I wish. The movie was fun, though.
So, Julie, help us understand why it's important for all teens at some point during the year. They can't all see you in August, nor do they need to. Why is it important for adolescents and teens to have a yearly visit with you?
So it is important to be seen once a year for many reasons. Teens are still growing, so we want to make sure they're maintaining their growth. And that's a very basic thing, but that tells us a lot because, failure to grow can pinpoint a lot of, potential medical underlying issues. Some kids are fully grown, but now they're trying to lose weight or they're trying to gain weight, and that can be a problem too, right? So there's a lot, even just a plain old growth chart and reviewing that is important. Some teens have ongoing medical problems that need to be addressed, asthma, allergies, things like that. We need to touch base, make sure their medicines are correct. And, it's important to screen for a lot of, like you mentioned before, behaviors. We ask screeners to cover kind of basic things like nutrition and are you getting enough sleep and are you exercising even if you're not an athlete, are you getting some exercise? But also, how are things going socially for you? How are you doing in school? For an adult who works, career success is a marker of like kind of mental health and, balance. And, if a child's failing in school, that really impacts their health, and both physical and mental. So it's important to check in on a lot of things at these teenage checkups.
And you just brought up a really important point that is so second nature to you, but as parents, we might not even think of, just having the young boy or girl weigh in. I notice you've lost 5 pounds from a year ago. Is it a young person, boy or girl, trying to lose weight and to look for not just an eating disorder, but celiac disease? So they're not absorbing their calories. And, or you might notice that the little face is developing acne and you want to talk about
medicines. Oh, my friend gave me this cream to put on it or whatever. So much. One picture, 1,000 words over and over again. Yes?
Yes. Yes, definitely.
So what are physical findings you look for in the annual physical? Obviously, their vital signs, like their weight, their height. Are they continuing to grow? Have they leveled off? Mm-hmm. What kind of other things do you look mm-hmm. for on physical exam?
I always like to say vital signs are vital, right? So just like in adults, blood pressure is very important. You know, we make sure that, you know, blood pressure in children can be a marker of kidney disease, as opposed to older teens. Sometimes that's starting to be a marker of heart disease. You know, sometimes we pick up new heart murmurs, which can be important, you know, on physical exam. You know, some heart murmurs, many, many children have heart murmurs that are heard at some point in their life. But sometimes a new heart murmur, because of how it sounds, makes us a little concerned about, you know, any structural problem in the heart that could, again, impact, you mentioned sports physicals, that could impact their ability to play sports. We also, on physical exam, sometimes we see, you know, you mentioned skin exam, so acne. We can offer help for acne. Kids don't have to suffer. But also sometimes we see, unfortunately, marks of self-harm. So I, you know, we look at arms and legs and, you know, if I'm seeing a teenager in the summer when it's 100 degrees wearing a sweatshirt and jeans, what are they hiding? So I want to make sure they're not self-harming as a way of coping with stress. So skin exam is very important. And, you know, we check to see if puberty is progressing normally, you know, in our younger teens. So that's part of the physical exam. You know, really, like, so really a head-to-toe exam is important.
And even the simple metric of asking the child or the teen to bend forward to look for scoliosis.
Yeah, scoliosis, right.
It can be so mild. Yeah, so mild. Mm-hmm. And you're going to pick it up because your trained eye can pick up the most subtle changes. So, Julie, when it is a student who needs to be cleared for participation in a sport at any point during the year, be it the fall, the spring, a 5 or 6 year old who's playing soccer and collides on the field doesn't experience the same force that a teen would. What do you look for when you're, because, you know, you hate to think that they get a family friend just to fill out the physical. It doesn't mean anything. It does. It is important. Tell us about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's definitely, you know, before, you know, as a pediatrician, before we check and physically examine a child, we ask a history. And so part of being cleared for sports and doing a sports physical is asking a lot of history questions. And that's why the parents have that kind of many question history form on that PIAA, or if they live in Pennsylvania or New Jersey, sports clearance. Those are the patients that I see. There's a lot of questions about family history for sudden cardiac death or, you know, unexplained death. There's also specific questions about kind of arrhythmias, specifically prolonged QT syndrome or something called Wolff-Parkinson-White, which has the potential to have different heart arrhythmias, or just anyone being treated for a heart rhythm disease. These are all important because we need to make sure the child is not at risk for rare but real, you know, sudden cardiac death playing sports. So that's important to get the history. And if they have a history, it doesn't mean they can't play sports. It means we're going to investigate. You know, we could do EKGs on everybody, but that would be a huge time waster and an expense that's not necessary. But those are the kids that would probably need an EKG and possibly a cardiology visit before being cleared. Mm-hmm. So there's heart health history. And then there's also just simple like range of motion, right? Like, that's more the orthopedic issue. You know, do you have normal strength in your arms and legs? Do you have normal range of motion of parts of your body that you need to play your sport? So if you're coming in to see me and you have a broken arm, that's probably not the physical I'm going to be able to use to clear you for sports. Now, I might be able to say, you know, needs follow up with orthopedist. Mm-hmm. And then the orthopedist can, once they've cleared the child with their broken bone is healed, they will be able to play sports. Right.
But I think you bring up so many, you're so concise and you just flow. This is why I love listening to you. Your wisdom, you just exude wisdom. The cardiac, even if we did an EKG on every pre-participation physical, cardiomyopathy, which means a heart that's not efficient, it's a floppy heart that doesn't always beat properly. It doesn't show up on an EKG. An arrhythmia might, but you know, you look at the football game this year when a football player is hitting the chest, and he kind of wobbled and then passed out. He passed out first because he had an abnormal rhythm and then passed out. It wasn't that, you know, that doesn't always mean that the person has a sick heart. That could have been determined in advance. It could be that
right
in the middle of lub-dub, you got hit at the right point in time. A catcher on a baseball team gets hit in the chest with them. That's why they wear the chest shield. We can't always, but for, as you say, if you ask a family history, so important. Anybody in your family die at a young age, like falling asleep at the wheel? Maybe their heart stopped. Maybe they had an arrhythmia. Or did they pass out? Or those are the kind of things. And so you bring up another important point. That's why it's so important that this annual exam be done by a doctor who knows you. You know the parents. You delve into family history. It's not just a doc in the box. Sorry, but, you know, it's not just somebody who fills it out for you as a favor or as a quickie, because it really can make a difference, right?
Yes. I mean, it takes a lot of thought and a lot of care, you know, careful thinking about your child to make sure they're safe playing sports. And like you said, is it 100% foolproof? No, but it's really good. And it picks up a lot of people who may, again, not necessarily that they cannot play sports, but that need a little further investigating to make sure they are safe when they play sports.
Or so, a different position on the team, or maybe a different sport. And the orthopedic exam is interesting, too. You want to make sure on several levels that the boy or girl has the right range of motion, not too lax either. You want them to not be stiff or any limitation from a previous fracture or something. But if they're too lax, they might have Ehlers-Danlos or something that makes them, you know, a really cool gymnast, but repeated motion can really hurt that joint, right? Or be a little more likely to have dislocated shoulder, elbow, whatever, yeah?
So we'll ask family history, and then also, again, on physical exam, we can often see that.
And I guess if a child has a lot of fractures easily, I mean, my gosh, my daughter's had fractures, my niece had, and they didn't have any bone pathology, but you as their umbrella, you as their pediatrician would say, little Mary or little Johnny has had a couple breaks, and we want to make sure they don't have celiac disease. Easy to check for, but it's one of those GI disorders that makes it harder to absorb enough calcium, yes?
Right. So, yeah, so again, history, and, you know, we can look at the medical, if it's a patient we know, we have all their medical record, we can look at the background. And if you're going to someone that doesn't know you, that doesn't know your child, they should be asking a whole lot of questions.
Are there any things, Julie, that you can't see other than, say, cardiomyopathy, which means a floppy heart? Are there other things that you'd say, I routinely ask these other questions of a mom or dad or care?
I would say that that's pretty much, you know, we worry about heart issues and orthopedic issues. And, you know, if we do, you know, in part of doing the exam, again, even if it's quote unquote just a sports physical, we're still weighing and measuring the child. If they've had a lot of weight loss, is that intentional? Is it not intentional? Is that a marker of something that needs to be investigated? Sometimes a sports physical is an opportunity to pick up things if the parent didn't go. Some people, unfortunately, some families will take their children to sports physicals, you know, say at an urgent care, but they think that that is the physical.
Right.
And so if it's very narrow, you might miss the opportunity to really catch a, you know, a problem in a child. But again, really the goal of a sports physical is, are they safe for sports? Can you know, their bodies, you know, healthy, strong enough to play the sport? And do they have any risk factors that could put them at risk?
Well said, you know? Because you are not a magician. And somebody who fills out the form, who only knows the child as a snapshot, you have the video. You've been following this child, or will continue to follow the child or the teen over. I mean, it's a luxury to see somebody more than once, because that's why we always say in office visits, we're going to do this test. Please come back, or at least telehealth, so we can have a full explanation and understand what it means now and what it could mean in the future. Let's take a little break. And when we come back, more from Dr. Julie Cardos from Children's Hospital, to learn why it's so important to take your adolescent or teen for an annual visit with your pediatrician.
Thanks for listening to Your Radio Doctor with Dr. Marianne Ritchie, exclusively presented by Independence Blue Cross. If you have a question for the medical mailbag, just send a note to doctor@yourradiodoctor.net.
At Independence Blue Cross, we take care of the people who take care of you. Everyday heroes like firefighters, police officers, teachers, farmers, and healthcare workers. Doctors and hospitals across the region have IBX, and they know what it means to have reliable access to care. So whether you're saving lives or just trying to live a healthier life, count on IBX, the region's number one health insurer for 85 years. Learn more at IBX.com.
Welcome back to your radio doctor. So pleased to have our friend Dr. Julie Cardos from Children's Hospital talk about the value of an annual visit with a pediatrician for your teen or adolescent child. Julie, we were talking about the pre-participation sports physicals that look for cardiac orthopedic, but tons of other stuff. Talk to us about young women that have the triad that's so vital to pick up.
Yeah. So, you know, again, one of the things we always ask at just annual physicals, if a girl is old enough to have started getting her periods yet, have they started and are they regular? And that again, a marker of good health. So if you have other endocrine issues, getting your period to your body is kind of not so important as like other endocrine areas, like your thyroid or your growing and all that. So if you're getting a period routinely, you probably don't have a chronic disease. But also, girls who are maybe they're so active in their sports and they don't have a lot of they don't have a lot of body fat.
Right.
Or they're losing weight, might not get their periods routinely, which means something's wrong with like the whole axis of endocrine hormones that help you get your period, including estrogen. And that could be problematic for growing bones and impact bone density. And so there's a whole lot of thought that goes into this too. Like, it's important to catch girls who are not having regular periods or who are not getting a period, even if they're the age and they're, you know, it's normal for girls to get a period for the first time up to age 16. So there's a wide range, right? Between 9 and 16. But if they started and then stopped, that could be a sign of a problem.
I'm laughing because I was 17. I think of all those years, I was scot-free of the issue. But I wasn't an athlete. I mean, I could throw a ball and play basketball and all that. But I guess I just spent all my time eating candy instead of meat and potatoes. But
someone has to be the last. Someone has to be last.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. So part of that annual visit, I'm calling it an annual visit because you say history, history, history. I tell my medical students history is so important. Sometimes the answer is right there before you even get to the physical. But
it is
the annual visit with your students, a history and a physical. Part of it is private. The teen is given a chance to talk about any particular concern in private with you, because you might say, okay, mom or dad or caregiver, let me take Johnny into the exam room, or Mary, and just give us a couple minutes. And that's a great opportunity to talk about that private time. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so most pediatricians will start sometime around, you know, maybe 11 or 12, or maybe around 6th or 7th grade, around that like middle school age. Mm-hmm. And I tell my patients, there's two reasons that we're going to start having a little bit of alone time at the end of your checkup. So I have the parent there for history taking, I have the parent there for the physical exam. But then at some point I tell the parent and the kid, when they're still together, look, at some point you take yourself to the doctor. So this is practice doing a grown-up task.
I like that.
You know, and then also, sometimes there are either questions or just sort of information that the kid wants their pediatrician to know but doesn't want their parent to know. And I don't know who they are, and I don't know what their reasons are, but I assume everyone needs the alone time, so that way I'm not making any judgments or prepping anybody. And then but the rules of privacy are always that, look, I prefer that you can talk to your parent or that you have, you know, a family member you can talk to. However, you can talk to me and I can keep things between us if there are things you need to keep private. The time I can't honor that is if I think your life is threatened. So if I'm worried about a life-threatening either condition or illness or habit or something that you're doing, we need your parents or your whoever is your caregiver to help us with that. And we can't keep that a secret. And I would never surprise you with that. We would find a way to talk. Maybe we talk together to your parent or, you know, but we just can't keep life-threatening things from parents. That's why they're there.
No. And what a beautiful way to approach it, because a teen might want to talk to you about a concern they have about their parents that their parents are aware of. that, gee, they argue a lot and it really upsets me. Are they going to get divorced or this or that? And it's not life-threatening, but it certainly upsets their mental health. Mm-hmm. And then you gradually talk about maybe talking about it with their mom or dad with
Right. And when I can help. And a lot of times kids, don't tell my mom, she'll kill me. Like, okay, let's think about that, you know.
Yeah.
But some kids are just trying to make decisions. And they're, like for example, I've never had sex, but I'm thinking about it. And, what do I need to do? And I don't want my parents to know. And, so we talk about a lot of things, right? First of all, how do you decide if you're ready? How are you going to keep protected? How hard would it be for your parent not to know? Keeping secrets is hard, right? And understanding that with sex comes responsibility. So, okay, you need to be screened for a sexually transmitted infection. That's part of being an adult. And, can your parents take you for that? Or do you need to go to Planned Parenthood? So there's a million things to talk about.
Big spectrum, yeah. I'm listening. We did an entire show on HPV. The guest was brilliant, Dr. Abraham Aragones. He's done so much research in talking to young people, many of whom think that oral sex is not sexual activity. And they don't think, because no baby can be produced, that they're not going to get HPV that bumps the risk for 6 cancers down the road. They don't know. And it's a lot. It's also a big burden for you, the pediatrician, to fit all of that information into one visit. I like the idea that private time is there. Because some kids will say to you, I'm really not worried about anything. But you've opened the door that they know that at some point in time, they could always reach out to you or maybe another adult, not a peer. I mean, you can talk things over with your peers, but I think you mentioned so beautifully, we were chatting the other day, that young people are just discovering who they are, whom they are, and they're concerned other people are watching them, but their friends have the same concern. So I think I'm ready for sex. I'm thinking about it. It's because your friends are talking about it or because how do you parse that out? With conversation. So if you're afraid of saying it to your parents, maybe a teacher or a grandparent or a neighbor. Well, a trustworthy neighbor. But you know what I mean? They start the conversation and you've helped them think of that. That's wonderful.
Go ahead.
Risky behaviors in general. Of course, sex, but alcohol use. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So, we in our office, we give teenagers a questionnaire that they fill out on an iPad before they see us, before they come into the room and before we have the visit. And then I can review their answers, and then often we'll review it together after, in this private time. And apparently teens would prefer to answer some of these tough questions on piece of paper or on iPad than verbally. So I can ask you, are your friends drinking alcohol? Are you drinking alcohol? But sometimes it's easier to answer that question not face to face. So it's helpful for me. And then I can kind of pick out, okay, what do I really need to address in this private time with the teen? But, one thing that if a teen is any of these, alcohol or if they're using marijuana or if they're using, I can say, I'm not their parent. So I have the luxury of being able to just give them, hey, look, as your pediatrician, I would advise you not to do that.
If they think I'm nuts to say it's okay, no.
Right? I mean, we can have a discussion of why or, what are the dangers? And look, as your pediatrician, I know your brain is still growing and developing. You have a much higher addiction potential for nicotine, for alcohol, for marijuana because of your developing brain. So after age 25, if the addiction potential is a little less. I'm not saying adults should go out and do this. However, for teens, it's especially dangerous. So we can have discussions and the kid's not going to think, well, because you're my mom or you're my dad. I'm their pediatrician. Yeah. So sometimes they might listen. And then it also is a way for them to, at least hear correct information.
My daughter is a physician, and the other day her little boy fell and he was crying. He said, I'm really in pain. And so my daughter said, well, we'll put a little ice on. He said, I need to see a doctor. She said, I am a doctor. And he said, you're not a real doctor. Yeah. And it was just funny. Yeah. The different adult in a young person's life. And I like that you said that, I mean, obviously you recognize sometimes it's more comfortable to talk to an iPad. I know we, from pet therapy, for instance, that traumatized children, sometimes you bring a dog into the room and they pet the dog and you hear them talking to the dog. That's the gateway to opening the conversation and, mm-hmm. and letting them open up their hearts and their fears. And I also like the way you say, not are you drinking alcohol, but you are Socrates, who always made us think by asking questions. Are your friends drinking? What do you think about that? Are you? And then you get to, or how about you? I love that.
Right.
Yeah. And smoking too, for Pete's sake. Smoking. Do you bring in vaping? Because I know, you know, out there, sometimes, not you, but people are afraid to bring it up or say, well, we don't know that much about it. You're inhaling inflammatory junk.
Yeah.
You know, it still can't be good for you.
No, and it's still addicting, right? So, and the amount of nicotine in vape is a lot higher than in cigarettes. And the amount of, you know, marijuana people are vaping is very high concentration. So it's dangerous. And it's, you know, it somehow there's a perception out there that like people, like kids, any teenager can tell you don't drink and drive. But I've had kids driving after getting high from marijuana.
Right.
And so I don't know how that message doesn't get conveyed. But we discussed that and how dangerous it is. Also, with alcohol, almost any bad date rape or bad situation involved alcohol in kids. So especially my older teens are going to college and they think, oh, this is great. I'm not going to be home anymore. I can make my own decisions and
freedom.
And I talk to them about being safe. And, you know, just like your parents told you when you were little, don't talk to strangers and don't go with people you don't know. The same thing applies if you go to a party. Don't go to a dorm room with someone you don't know yourself. And if your brain is clouded with alcohol or other substances, you're not going to be making a good decision.
Yeah, well, they're not inviting you into their room to see their collection of baseball cards. Chances are. But I think with vaping, too, you're inhaling, you know, some of the breakdown products are formaldehyde, acetaldehyde, that bump the risk for cancer later. And people think they're, even adults think they're inhaling steam. No, friends, this is not pure air. I mean, if a house were on fire, would you want to walk in and inhale that air? No, you'd have the common sense to say no. But I think with marijuana, it's out there for medical use. Even if you get a script from a reputable physician, you pick it up at a store. It's not a drug store. It's a store where it's not regulated yet. So there's so many levels that people in general, but especially vulnerable young people, because they want to fit in or they're curious or for whatever reason. And maybe that's, you're right. So many young people know to have a designated driver. We've you know, made progress there. But driving, and speaking of driving, and we'll talk more about this after the break, it'd be great for parents to get used to being in a carpool. That's where you hear the activities of the day, yes?
Yes, that's very true. So, you know, you want to be the one that your teen goes to with questions, right? And you kind of set that up and, you know, hopefully you're talking to them all along. Hopefully you're still finding reasons to have, you know, or ways to have family meals, whether it's breakfast or dinner. That's shown to be protective against high-risk behavior in teens. And just listening and being curious about what your teen is into and, you know, hey, learn to play one of their video games and play with them. Just show an interest in what they're interested in so they're more likely to talk to you.
And open then the door.
Right, yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. And then if your kid is not old enough to drive yet and you have to drive them, first of all, great opportunity to talk to your teen. Again, they're not eye contact because you're driving. And sometimes you just have an opportunity to listen. Either they're talking to you directly or they're in the backseat with their friend talking and you find out what's happening.
That's exactly it. Yeah. Stay with us during the break for Your Real Champion. And now for Your Real Champion, I call this segment, I'll Huff and I'll Puff and I'll Help You Stop Smoking. According to the National Cancer Institute, tobacco was used in the U.S. colonies as chewing tobacco, snuff, in pipes and cigars. But in 1884, a machine was invented that could mass-produce cigarettes, no more rolling by hand. And then another big boost came with the first mass marketing campaign in 1913. In 1928, cigarette ads targeted women smokers by including the phrase, "Reach for a Lucky instead of a sweet," suggesting that smoking might help with weight control. During World War I, cigarettes became part of a soldier's daily rations. And in World War II, cigarettes were again distributed to military personnel for free. Well, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services published the first report linking disease risk with cigarette smoking in the early 1950s. So, manufacturers began to produce filtered cigarettes in 1955. A year later, the Council for Tobacco Research was formed. Cigarette smoking reached a peak in the U.S. in 1963. And then in 1964, the Surgeon General released a report on smoking and health. History was made in 1966 when the federal government mandated that cigarette packs have a warning on them from the Surgeon General. Then cigarette advertisements were finally banned from TV by 1970. Well, a decade later, a very bright young man graduated from Jefferson Medical College. Dr. David Menino remembers the very first patient he interviewed as a second-year medical student. The man was a smoker, debilitated by COPD, severe lung disease, and it made a big impression on the young provider. The patient was only in his 50s at the time, and although that seemed older to Dave, it struck him as also so unnecessary to see a man that sick. Intrigued by the effects of tobacco, Dave began to learn more about treating lung diseases so he could help patients affected also by secondhand smoke, air pollution, and also be able to work in critical care units. So he set out to change the world, and he did. So committed, he joined the National Health Service and spent 4 years treating patients in a federal prison. He learned a lot about the effects of smoking and withdrawal from that habit because many of the prisoners were addicted. And while there, he made a valiant effort to make the prison smoke-free. Well, he continued his quest to make a difference. He studied pulmonary medicine for 3 years, stayed in public health, and joined NIOSH, the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health, which identifies and does research on occupational health and safety hazards. And for more than 13 years, he worked with the CDC doing tobacco-related work, studying air pollution, COPD, and asthma. Dave also realized that labels on cigarette packages and TV ads were banned, but there was still so much work to be done to educate the public about this very risky habit. In 1994, Dr. Dave Menino published a landmark paper that linked cigarette smoking with impotence in men, now referred to as erectile dysfunction. Now he had people's attention. He was interviewed on the Today Show and by Mike Wallace from 60 Minutes. Campaigns in Europe added photographs of limp cigarettes to their messaging. Now, when you think back, in the 1970s, airlines had designated smoking and non-smoking areas. Really? Dave said, that's like saying it's okay for a child to tinkle in a certain zone of the pool. Well, through the 80s and 90s, smoking was banned on short flights, then longer domestic flights. But it took until 2000 for the ban in all domestic and international flights. We can thank Dave and his team for their continued efforts. It also took until 1993 to enforce that accredited American hospitals be smoke-free, and some even have a smoke-free policy about the grounds outside the buildings. Well, in 2006, Dr. Menino was invited to co-author the U.S. Surgeon General's very important report on secondhand smoke. Yes, even if you've never smoked, your lungs can be damaged if you live with a smoker. Again, in 2014, when the Surgeon General published a 50-year anniversary report on the health hazards of smoking, Dr. David Menino co-authored the chapter on COPD. All of his contributions helped to update research findings and messaging on cigarette packages. In fact, there are now 11 different messages, and all of them have to randomly be displayed on a company's packaging over a 12-month period. Most people are aware of the warnings that smoking can cause COPD, strokes, heart attack, but many may not know that it can cause head and neck cancer, cataracts that can lead to blindness, fatal lung disease in non-smokers, type 2 diabetes, bladder cancer. Smoke can harm your children. In pregnancy, it can stunt the growth of the baby. It can reduce blood flow to limbs and lead to amputation. And we now know it can cause erectile dysfunction. Dr. Dave Menino faced a lot of challenges along the way, and when I asked the biggest lesson he learned, he said, you just keep plugging away. Change doesn't happen quickly. The key to making the change is threefold: education, legislation, and sometimes litigation. Because of Dave's persistence, millions of lives have been saved. At the peak, over 50% of U.S. adults were smokers, but by 2021, that number was below 12%. Now, I could quote a slogan from an old cigarette commercial and say, you've come a long way, baby. But I know that Dr. Dave Menino will continue his quest to watch for potential harms from vaping and a new trend with nicotine pouches, because one man can make a difference. We salute you, Dr. David Menino. You're a real champion.
Today's edition of Your Radio Doctor with Dr. Marianne Ritchie, presented exclusively by Independence Blue Cross, can be enjoyed anytime, anywhere, at your convenience. Just download the Odyssey app and search Your Radio Doctor. It's health education on demand.
At Independence Blue Cross, we take care of the people who take care of you. Everyday heroes like firefighters, police officers, teachers, farmers, and healthcare workers. Doctors and hospitals across the region have IBX, and they know what it means to have reliable access to care. So whether you're saving lives or just trying to live a healthier life, count on IBX, the region's number one health insurer for 85 years. Learn more at IBX.com.
Your Radio Doctor, Dr. Marianne Ritchie, now Saturday afternoons at 5, presented exclusively by Independence Blue Cross.
This program is paid for by Your Radio Doctor, LLC.
Welcome back to Your Radio Doctor with our friend and super guest, Dr. Julie Cardos, Director of the Primary Care Office of Children's Hospital in Newtown, Pennsylvania. Julie, you're a pediatrician and a master of communication. I mean that. I know a lot of doctors, you do it very well. As a mom, and your advice for parents, how do you set up a beautiful way of communicating with your child, your teen, long before the teen years come?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that's the reason for the checkups before the teenage years, right? So part of what we talk about at all well checks are parenting, right? And how to be the best parent. It's not just about, you know, spotting diseases or, you know, all about, you know, illness prevention. It's also about, you know, everything else in the kid's life. And how can parents be there for their kids? You have to be there, right? So when they're young, of course, you usually have a bedtime routine with your child, right? Maybe you read to them before they go to bed. You probably eat meals together as a family much more often because they're little, first because they need supervision and then because they're not as involved. But at some point, it seems like when teens become teens and they start looking like adults, we forget that they look like adults, but they still need parents. And some of the things that you do that you've established as younger kids really carry over into teenage years. So, for example, your teenager might be in high school all day and after school activities, and then they are doing homework. Remember to check in with them before you go to bed, because often, right, parents are even going to bed earlier than their teens are. But check in. It's really important, you know, hey, how was your day? Or any, you know, I just want to tell you I love you. I mean, just check in. I think that's important, and we forget to do that when kids look like adults, but they're really still kids.
Well, you know what, Julie? You bring up so many important facts, even in one sentence. Check on them, because they might be on the phone, they might be social media, and you have to remind them that they need their sleep to perform. And if you're exhausted, you're not going to face challenges, whether they're being prepared for school, dealing with arguments with friends, dealing with an overly demanding teacher. You want all that to come through to you too.
Of course.
And good night, honey. What's happening tomorrow? Anything special? And when they come in the door, how was your day? I love the idea of, I mean, I know with my own children, they're all in their 30s, have families of their own now, but when they're home for a weekend, our big thing is to clean up after dinner, and we all, who's picking the movie tonight? And during the movie, that's when it all comes out. You see an example of a parent and their child talking, and it brings up ideas from me, and I'll say, you know, remember that time when you were little? Do you still bite your nails? Or, you know, it's an opportunity. And I'm sure for you see children in the office. I see patients. I might say, you know, I had this patient the other day who really ended up spending way too much time practicing for basketball or football, and he hurt his elbow. Remember, right? There's segues into giving your child advice or asking what's going on in your little mind. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I definitely think that's true. I think a lot of teen culture now revolves around cell phones, right? There's a lot of kids on phones all the time. I think it's really important that when parents get their child their first phone at whatever age that is, they make it very clear, this is the parent's phone and the teen is borrowing it. Right? Unless your teen is truly paying for their own phone plan, which I doubt most of them are, it's the parent's phone. And so there are rules. I always had my kids, you had to plug in your phone to charge for the night in the kitchen. It doesn't go into your room at bedtime.
I like that.
There's something called an alarm clock that I teach my patients about. An alarm clock is how you can wake yourself up in the morning. You don't need your phone to do that. Kids are texting all night. And you're right, sleep deprivation is a huge problem in today's kids and teens. So part of it is keeping the phone out of the room overnight. And also, homework time, right? The phone is like constantly nudging you when your friends are texting you. How do you get your homework done in a timely manner so then you can hope to go to bed at a reasonable time? So I think it's really important. I think that a phone is for communicating. It shouldn't be for scrolling and scrolling endlessly or for interfering with what you need to do, including sleep. And so if parents establish that early on, the phone gets charged out of your bedroom, the parents can tell the kids right up front, I can scroll through your phone anytime and read what you're texting. So I want to make sure you're safe, right? There's just a lot of rules around that. And if you've always done it, it's not going to be a sudden rebellion when kids, get older. So I think it's, and teach responsible phone use. So if your child's talking to you, don't pull out your phone.
Well, I think too, Julie, rules is a whole separate umbrella. Mm-hmm. Tradition makes, especially children, but people in general, tradition makes us feel more secure. Mm-hmm. And in an interesting sense, rules do too. Mm-hmm. Rules show, not that you're being a mean mother or father, rules give structure and security. Mm-hmm. You know that I'm telling you these rules about the car to keep you safe, to keep your friends safe, when you can have the car, when you should look for things on the dashboard that tell you you're almost out of gas.
Right.
There are certain rules that will keep you safe and alive and help you handle life situations for the rest of your days. You're imprinting those ideas in that formative brain. And the same with marijuana and that kind of thing. Just because it's legal doesn't mean it's good for you. As a woman in GI, I see a lot of young people who want that kind of extra nurturing. And I've seen countless young people in their 20s, even 30s, who have severe belly pain. We do this $1 trillion workup of CAT scans and scoping, and we don't find any obvious anatomical change. Mm-hmm. The function, it's in spasm, and their motility's off from daily marijuana. Mm-hmm. So it's those kinds of things. Be careful. You can talk to me if you have questions. Mm-hmm. And if they're keeping the company who doesn't have their best interests at heart, be it a friend, same-sex friend, like a guy who's a buddy on a team with them or somebody they're dating, watch your kids, I guess, for changes in their behavior, right?
Like yeah.
They're,
yeah.
So, tell us about that.
Yeah, so some people, a lot of teens, we joke, I had a family that called their kid door one and door two because they were teenagers and hung out in their rooms with the door closed. So so stress, right? So if for whatever the cause of stress, if their friends are doing things that they don't feel comfortable with, or they're in a relationship they're not comfortable with, they're going to show stress, unfortunately. But then you can kind of watch for that. So again, are they able to sleep? Are they eating? Like basic stuff. If any child that was doing all right in school and starts to fail, that's a huge red flag. Either they're mentally stressed, they're physically stressed, maybe they're too high to study, maybe they're drunk all the time or they're hungover. But so failing could be a sign of so many problems. So it's important to know how your children are doing in school. Even if they don't tell you, you should find out because that's really important.
So it's those frequent meals that you're face to face with your child. And if they love, corn on the cob, and tonight it's just sitting on their plate, or whatever it is that they usually scarf up. Those changes, those subtle changes sometimes, or your son or daughter is always in a sweatshirt and sweatpants. It's July. What are you hiding? Have you, you have bumps or bruises? Are you cutting? Are you losing weight in an unhealthy way? Yeah.
So all of those things are just kind of changes in how they're acting. And don't be afraid to ask. And it doesn't have to be, how are you? You can make a statement. I see that you're not eating. You can make it up. But when I'm really, really worried about something, I find it really hard to eat. Is anything happening? Or
exactly.
And sometimes you don't get an answer the first time. But just like that's where it goes into being available. Like maybe they don't answer you right then and there, but then maybe later they want to talk. So again, just being available.
Yeah, I on a regular basis, I say to my children, I'm not going to say their names, but let's say I have a son named John. I say, I am John Smith. I have value. If you have friends who are not very considerate or always jump in line or don't, you know, just remember you have value and you're going to be kind to them, but you expect it in return. And if they can't do that, see ya. There are 7.8 billion people on the planet. You don't have to stick with the ones. If they're making you feel bad about yourself, adios. I think it's really important too. I love that you keep the door open and you're talking to your son or daughter in an honest way. You know, when I was in high school, I tried to smoke cigarettes a couple of times and I coughed so hard and I just said, you know what? I'm going to go back to biting my fingernails or eating candy. I'll find some other thing that's a good party trick. But cigarettes, and if your friends are smoking a lot, you're inhaling it. Mm-hmm. I don't know, just different examples of be you. It's, you know, that's the big thing now, right? It's okay to be you. You be you. Correct. Don't apologize. I have value. You have value. Be yourself. Be comfortable in your own skin. It's a hard lesson. As we said, kids are always worried what other people think. Well, their friends feel the same way. So,
Right. You know, and I was going to say that, you know, friends are really important to teens, and it's easier said than done, right? To drop a friend group or to, you know, change friends. And, but at the same time, again, you can kind of just talk, you know, you don't have to say, well, don't hang around those people anymore, but you can try to build your child up. You can almost help your teen choose their friends. So if you like, you know, the soccer playing friends, but you're not a big fan of, I don't know, the friends that have some other interest, you get
the garage band guys.
I mean, whatever it is, like you get your kids soccer equipment for their birthday, or you know,
I
mean,
agree.
You can kind of encourage the friends that you like. Be the house that the friends come to, because then you're in, you know, you can kind of know that there's no, you know, opportunity for trouble in your own house, you know, and you can be the eyes.
I'll never forget. I have, for our youngest guy, poor guy, he had an older brother and sister. So I said, hey, yeah, it's homecoming. Hey, I'm happy to have the party here. You can have 8-10 couples. Can they stay over? I'm like, honey, no, they're moms and dads. Oh, please. Okay. So I said, the boys can hang out in the basement downstairs and, you know, bring a little sleeping bag or something. The girls, I have an extra room, sleeping bags, and there's a pull-out couch. There's only, I think, 6 of them. And I sat in the den watching TV, and when I heard Muffy and Buffy tiptoeing toward the basement, I said, girls, can I help you? And so they teetered back. And at another point, my daughter, who was only a couple years older, went down and said, hey, does anybody want more mini hot dogs or soda? There are ways to be clever about these things, yes?
Right. So I think just, you know, it appropriately supervising is important.
It's really important. And you know what? I've always told my kids, blame me. Say, well, my mom says I can't have it. Find somebody else to blame to say no. Yes.
Yeah, especially I always tell kids to exaggerate if their kids are trying to pressure them, if their friends are trying to pressure them to do something they don't want to do. You know, are you kidding? Mm-hmm. If I even touch a cigarette, my parents are going to smell it on me and I'm going to be grounded for the rest of the school year. I can't risk that, you know, or whatever. Like, just
perfect.
Kind of, you know, and then I, you know, again, it's setting the stage that you're there, that you're available. It's, it's knowing that your pediatrician, like we're talking about, again, the importance of going to your pediatrician yearly for checkup. We encourage the kids to talk to their parents like that, like, you know, parents should understand that. You know, when
absolutely.
I tell the kids, when I ask them, who can you talk to if you were having a lot of really bad days or a lot of, and when they say their parents, that's my favorite answer. You know, unfortunately, not everybody mm-hmm. has that. And then we try to find other safe people.
The best cushion to land on. Let's take a little break and we'll be back with our wrap up with Dr. Julie Cardos.
Your Radio Doctor with Dr. Marianne Ritchie is presented exclusively by Independence Blue Cross.
At Independence Blue Cross, we take care of the people who take care of you. Everyday heroes like firefighters, police officers, teachers, farmers, and healthcare workers. Doctors and hospitals across the region have IBX, and they know what it means to have reliable access to care. So whether you're saving lives or just trying to live a healthier life, count on IBX, the region's number one health insurer for 85 years. Learn more at IBX.com.
Welcome back for our final segment of Your Radio Doctor. We call this segment Your Weekly Prescription. And boy, do we have a great, concise, practical list from Dr. Julie Cardos from Children's Hospital. Julie, the importance of an annual visit with the pediatrician for your adolescent or teen. Go.
Okay. So it's more than just a physical, right? The physical exam is important, but it's really important to have a yearly well check for screening for, you know, not just general medical problems, but also for risky behaviors. That's really important. And then another one of our important points that we talked about is that, you know, basically teens are always listening. And even I tell parents, even if you mm-hmm. think they're not, they are listening. Despite the eye rolling or the door closed, they're listening to you. So be the model, like role model the behavior that you want your kids to have. So demonstrate exercising, eating healthy, you know, demonstrating ways to deal with stress, so, you know, going for a walk or listening to music as a distraction. Certainly offer your opinions about things to teens, but you can say this in my opinion, or I think, you know, and you can then invite, maybe they're going to give their opinion or maybe they're going to think about it, but that's a less threatening way to let your kids know what you think about
things. I like
things.
That. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You want to, when your kids do come to you, remember, don't jump in and try to solve the problem. You have a lot more experience than they do. You probably know how to solve the problem, but it's more valuable to teach your children how to solve their own problems. So you can just, and especially if they're telling you something that initially is a little shocking, let it sit and, you know, you can ask questions. And if really, even if you need to say, you know what, let me think about this and we can get back. I need to think about this. You kind of surprised me with that question. I want to think about my answer. You can always do a redo, you know, with your kids. They're still living with you. But I think it's important for you to teach them how, for parents to teach kids how to solve their problems. And again, on that kind of, not just helping your kids solve problems, just being available so your kids know they can come to you. And you know, teenagers should know who to go to, who's safe to go to. Hopefully their parents are safe to go to. They have a pediatrician that's hopefully safe to go to. They also might have teachers or guidance counselors. Maybe they, you know, their friends could be a start. If they're, you know, you can even teach how to be a good friend. You know, you can teach your kids. If your friend came mm-hmm. to you and said, I'm really upset or I'm really depressed or I want to hurt myself, teach your kid. That's when you break confidence. You have to say, I need your, you know, you can tell your own parents or your parent can tell their parents or you can tell their parents. In the office, when we see kids alone, we talked about this already. If I think there's a life-threatening situation happening with my patient, I tell them, we can't keep this between us. We need your parents. So that's really important. You can teach your kids how to be a good friend to their friends.
And I know that that's something that we didn't mention before, teaching your child to recognize red flags. You know, when we were little, we were taught that the age of reason was 7. But certain themes throughout life and humanity are universal, but the world today is, we're in sensory overload, and these kids are being bombarded with access to things that we may not have had access to. So it continues to evolve. And two peds in a pod, you and your colleague, Dr. Naylene Lai, are two peds, P-E-D-S, so The website is twopeds, P-E-D-S, inapod.org for awesome information on the website, and you blog. And you also send people to the American Academy of Pediatrics for their blog on topics, and it's called healthychildren.org.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much, Julie. You are a superstar. Wish I had you for my children as a pediatrician, but maybe I'll send the grandchildren to you now. But thank you so much, and we really appreciate all the wisdom you shared with us today.
Hey, you're welcome. Thanks for having me on the show.
Thank you for listening to Your Radio Doctor every Saturday at 5 p.m. here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Listen to any of our shows again on Audacy.com, AUDACY. Thank you to our exclusive sponsor, Independence Blue Cross, and for our association with Helio.com, the medical information platform with the most current medical and health news. Smoking cessation significantly reduces excess mortality within a decade. Great article on Helio.com. Next week, we welcome Dr. Matthew McDonald, president and CEO at the Children's Specialized Hospital at Robert Wood Johnson. Fantastic programs for chronically ill children doing miraculous work. And Dr. McDonald is a fellow St. Joe Hawk. Friends, in the past, we've done shows to help you know what to do in an emergency. A very special shout out to my friends from Narberth Ambulance. This very morning, I saw Captain Mark Scanlon and paramedic Phil Monticello in action. Superstar professionals did a great job getting a patient to the hospital quickly and safely. Support Narberth Ambulance in their annual Rock and Ride in Ardmore on August 11. Music festival, bike race, something for people of all ages. Support Narberth Ambulance. Visit ardmorerockandride.com. That's Ardmore Rock, the letter N for nice, rockandride.com. More than ever, please remember to pray for peace in our world, in our country, in our families, and in each of our own hearts. And try each day to do something nice for someone. Even a small gesture can mean a lot. This is your radio doctor, Dr. Marianne Ritchie, wishing you a happy, healthy, and safe week with the ones you love, and always here to remind you that your health is your wealth.
Thanks for listening to Your Radio Doctor, Dr. Marianne Ritchie, presented exclusively by Independence Blue Cross. To contact Dr. Marianne and to listen to today's show as well as past shows, visit yourradiodoctor.com. This program is paid for by Your Radio Doctor, LLC. All opinions or statements expressed on this program are solely those of Your Radio Doctor and their guests and do not reflect the opinions of WPHT or Audacy. Today's program has been pre-recorded.
At Independence Blue Cross, we take care of the people who take care of you. Everyday heroes like firefighters, police officers, teachers, farmers, and healthcare workers. Doctors and hospitals across the region have IBX, and they know what it means to have reliable access to care. So whether you're saving lives or just trying to live a healthier life, count on IBX, the region's number one health insurer for 85 years. Learn more at IBX.com.